New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Dr. Robert with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit. Today is Friday, and that means it's 7 o'clock on the Mountain Time Zone. We want to thank you for being with us. Whether you're watching live or watching on a recording, please feel free to drop your name into the chat box, say hello, chat about, can join the conversation as we go along this morning. It's always a raucous conversation here on Friday morning. I'm feeling a little feisty this morning, Z.
Well, did Joe get you fired up last night?
Joe kind of got me fired up last night. And I came away thinking, okay, they're going to make an angry grandpa meme out of this soon enough. I haven't seen him yet, but I'm sure somebody's doing some Photoshopping early this morning to create. But, yeah, obviously the top story of the day, folks, United States State of the Union, President Joe Biden speaking for just over an hour last night and on a huge range of subjects. And I got to say, I had a school event with my kids, so I didn't get to see it live. I watched it on a replay, and it kept me up. It kept me engaged. I stayed up for later than I should have watching that stuff. But I think you had a little bit different of an experience.
Yes, I too recorded it. I went and got a massage, and when I came home, I fell asleep on it. So I watched maybe the first, 25 minutes or so. And the next thing I know, it was silent. The TV was just chattering about something. They were gone. So I'll have to watch the rest of it today. But what I saw was really good. He was articulate. He was, on point. He highlighted a couple of the issues by having people in the audience who stood for the or was a representative of the issues. And we got a bunch of them to go through, the IDF and the immigration stuff. I mean, just a host of things. So I'll have to catch it all, as they say, on the replay.
Yes, exactly. I have to say, I'm not Joe's biggest fan. I think many of you know that. I voted for Marianne Williamson in the Colorado primary this week. A lot of people did, actually. She did all right. Mm-hmm. For a dead race primary, basically. And Joe kept me engaged because he, from my perspective, he really cast a vision of what we can do if we work together. Hmm. Now, he took his direct shots at former President Trump. He took his shots at, never said the man's name. My predecessor, the people before me, used all kinds of terms for him, but didn't call him out by name, didn't speak his name in the chamber, but really laid out a vision of what we can accomplish.
Right.
Unfortunately, I tried to watch the Republican response, which sounded like an overly crafted speech that was not a response to the talk at all, that was obviously well prepared well in advance, because it was so incredible. It was sickening, actually, to watch this woman who 29, Kristen Britt, I think her name is, you know, and she's a newly elected senator to the state of Alabama, first female senator from the state of Alabama, youngest female senator elected to the U.S. Senate. Wow. All these things. And she basically, it felt like, the old boys told her what to say. And she tried to put on a smile, but it wasn't a great performance. And it wasn't a great speech. And it left me with that same old perspective. I listened to Joe talk about vision. I listened to Joe talk about possibility in the future. And then I had to listen to this woman try to scare me and using fear tactics to drive her speech, which was canned, uninspired.
Wow.
Response to the speech that we just heard. It was, I think the Republicans kind of punted on that one again.
Well, you know, one thing I did notice in the small time I was watching, the new speaker's poker face. I would love to get him in a poker game because I'd wipe him out. He wouldn't win a dime. His response, his facial expressions and eye movements and all of the stuff when Joe said something about the Republican Party that he didn't know, a candidate or something. And, you know, he's sitting there shaking his head. And, you know, I'm like, dude, it's better to have a poker face because you're going to be on the camera the whole time. I mean, you are the background, right? And so it looks like a little kid or something sitting there. I don't know. You're going through whatever. And it's like, you know, this, you know, listening to what you said about the response from the younger senator there, and it's these adults who want to lead the country, they act like kindergarten kids. And I'm gonna take my ball and go home, and we're having a great time playing. Okay, now we have some issues, but we're having a great time. But because I can't get what I want, I'm gonna take my ball and I'm going home, right? Yeah. It's like, give me a break. You know, even the kindergarten kids eventually make an allowance and say, look, let's play ball. You know, and these guys keep standing off in the corner trying to prove a point that's obvious in some of the cases. Some of it is, and I mean obvious in both ways, obvious that there's something that needs to be dealt with, and obvious that these people are talking out of the side of their face. And we continue to not approach these very serious matters as adults. We act like kindergarten kids or middle school kids. You pick your choice. Of the level of obtainable information. And I don't know, you know, I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, the one thing I did see was the IBF thing in Alabama. I was glad to see that they passed a bill that indicated cell is not a person.
And it protects the providers from any legal liabilities. So let's give Linda a shout out. Good morning, Linda. Linda said, I made it through the rebuttal speech. Felt like listening to a high schooler in her first acting class. Yeah, I can agree with that, Linda. I can. It's like, and poor Mike Johnson, you're right. He had to sit there and you could almost see there were parts where he was like, oh, that almost makes sense, but I can't, like, but I got to keep these lips shut, baby. I cannot, right? Oh, so God. You could see it in his eyes. And there was one point where you could see where he was like, ah, shit, I have to clap for this. Like, I can't be seen not standing up and clapping on this one. So here I go. I'm going to stand up and clap. And you could see the, again, I like your assessment. It's like kindergartners or middle school kids that the Republicans sat there all night and called, you know, and heckled Joe and called him a liar. And when your response to somebody's speech is liar, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You guys,
good point.
The truth. He might skew the truth a little, but he's not going to sit up there and outright lie to the American people. And right. You know it.
And here's the thing, right? Like, you know, first and foremost, before the thing started, the speaker said, okay, we're going to be courteous. We're going to be polite or whatever, right? And then they start hollering liar, right? And that's exactly like a middle school kid when you're in an argument, when you see two kids, or if you remember when you were in middle school and the person had all the right points and you had no rebuttal, you just say liar. Or that's not true, or you walk away because they'd already gotten the best of you and you had no rebuttal. So you just act out and that gives you more attention than the truth. And then, yep. You know, which is what they did.
Yep. And so from a perspective of, I guess I went to the theater twice last night. First time was a High School Musical. And then I came home and I sat it and I got to tell you, the High School Musical was a lot more entertaining. But, you know, Joe says the state of our union is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to believe that. And actually, after last night's speech, I want to work towards that. I want to find a way to whether it's in consciousness or in form, to be, I'm with Joe. We can make America better. We can be a strong union again, rather than this. One side sits on their hands and the other side stands up and claps, yeah. Rather than the red and the blue division, and rather than the aggression and all the attacks based on personality, rather than having Joe basically said last night he would sit down and he said he would do immigration reform with Donald Trump. And that's not the first time I've heard him say it. So It wasn't like just a talking point for that. But he said, we'll do it together. And I think he was talking maybe a little more to just the Republican Senate. But but alluded to, he would work with Trump and the Republicans and the far right to come to some workable solution, especially around immigration.
Yeah. You know, that's a gauntlet for the Republicans and Trump, if he still wants to be involved in politics, in that, okay, guys, this is your big stickling point, this immigration stuff. And you know, they had the big thing down there in Texas and, you know, but if you're serious about this, let's sit down together and let's talk about it. Let's find some compromise. Let's find some points. And the first thing we do is, let's not look at the compromise stuff. Let's find the points that we all agree upon, that we need to make it more safe. We need to make it more orderly. We need to make it more effective in terms of who gets in and whatever. And then we look at all the stickling points, because by the end, we're going to have a bunch of common ground. We're going to have something to work with. And then we're going to be good. I mean, but this idea that everything I say is right and everything you say is wrong is never going to get us anywhere but into a stalemate. If you ever played chess and you get to a stalemate, you know, you spent a couple of hours and you feel frustrated.
Right. Yep. Dear Linda says, on a positive side, Lauren Boebert didn't show cleavage and didn't get camera attention for yelling. I agree with you, Linda. I think Lauren is I think she's running scared and trying to be on her best behavior because she hasn't had any good press in a long time now at this point. Everything that's going on with her son, everything that's going on with her family. She hasn't received any bit of good press in quite a while. And wouldn't you know it, she's trying to be good. All right, Lauren, I give it to you. You're trying to be good. But the truth wins out because there's pictures of her hanging out with George Santos. And some of you are like, what? What the hell was George Santos doing at the State of the Union? I guess it turns out you told me this. I didn't realize it, but he still has floor privileges. Now, obviously, he can't vote. Obviously, he can't be involved in debate. Obviously, he doesn't have an audience. The man was expelled, overwhelmingly expelled from the body, and yet he still gets to show up and hobnob and hang out with Matt Gaetz and hang out with Lauren Boebert and hang out with the far right as if he's still part of the boys club.
Yeah. And it's amazing that, because if the term stays the same, expelled from suspension, that means he could never come back. It's like when you get expelled from a high school, you can't go back to that high school anymore. You got to go to another one, right? So he could never come back in if the term and the way it's employed is the same. But yet he still has privileges to come in there. And it's like, how does that work?
And hang out. I have no clue. But I think there'll be some people asking that question this coming week. How does this happen? Come on. And I got to say, the pictures were not flattering at all, by the way. He looks like he's been sitting around and doing nothing but eating bonbons for a while at this point. So, George, good luck to you, sir. I hope you find your real calling and wake up out of this MAGA. It's a brainwash. It's a MAGA brainwash that is still so prevalent. Here's another one. Lauren Boebert this week is leading a campaign to have Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State here in Colorado, recalled.
On what grounds?
That made a statement. So if you didn't catch this earlier on Monday, we knew this decision was coming. It came on Monday morning. The Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump can stay or must stay on the ballot here in Colorado, that removing him from the ballot was not legal according to the Constitution, yada, 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 and he has to stay on the ballot. So Jenna put out a post of some sort, I don't know where, but she put out a post expressing her dismay, her displeasure, her disbelief that the Supreme Court would rule in this way. And truthfully, folks, this really does look like an incredibly partisan vote on the Supreme Court's behalf. She basically was chiding the Supreme Court for meddling in states' affairs, for not allowing a state to determine whether or not a candidate was guilty, was unelectable, or I forget the term. So she put out a statement. Lauren Boebert immediately jumped on it and said, "This proves that she's biased and can't serve as the Secretary of State and therefore must be recalled." Wow.
Wow.
I wanna start a recall on Lauren Boebert. You can't be a carpetbagger. You abandoned your district. You gave up on principle. You're nothing but a media hound. Let's get rid of her. Let's recall her. I don't know.
But you know, you were talking about her seatmate there for a minute. You know, George is looking to run again for some office in Long Island. I'm like, I don't know if he gets elected again. Will that erase the slate or what? I'm not sure. But he's looking to run against Nick LaLotta, in a GOP primary
as a representative for the House.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that you know,
I guess this
time,
you know,
if he gets elected this time, right, it'll be, well, we know all the dirt now, so we can't bring him charges against him on any of that. And I don't know if there are any charges still pending on any of the other stuff he did or not. The money and the, yeah, and the falsifying statements. And, you know.
Well, you know, Jordan getting reelected would not be the worst thing in the world when we're this close to reelecting Donald Trump, to be straight up. As much as I don't like talking about it, I think it's time that people do start talking about it. We did the same thing in 2016, and people thought he had no chance in the world, and he was a sideshow act. Mm-hmm. And the mm-hmm. next thing we know,
he was the man.
Everybody just got out of his way and and let him win. And unfortunately, Nikki Haley dropping out of the race, Kristen Sinema announcing she's not going to run for re-election.
Here's a question.
Starting to look pretty damn red in some ways.
Here's a question that I would like someone to answer, because I honestly don't know the answer. Why do all of the candidates who cease to run for the position say they're suspending their campaign, right? Because they're out of this particular race, right? It's not suspended. You're not coming back in. Well, although I guess Marianne did come back in, but I don't understand the logic of that, of suspending, as to saying I'm dropping out of this race. I'm not running in this election. You know, what's the significance of this supposedly slick word? I'm suspending my campaign. You're out. What are you doing? I don't know. Somebody, if anybody got an answer, if you see this later and you got an answer, let me know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I got a feeling it's gonna have to be about money.
Yeah.
In some ways it must be about money.
That makes sense. If they suspended all the money that they've collected, they still have access to it probably to use in another kind of campaign or in another election for themselves.
According to the AP, under federal election law, a candidate who has filed to run for office technically remains one until after the election. But so you cannot not be, I guess if you file, you're a candidate till the end.
Oh, okay.
But by declaring that they are suspending a campaign, a candidate is signaling to donors, both to their loyal supporters as well as those who are backing their rivals, that they are shifting to the next phase. After a spirited campaign, often includes the need to retire outstanding debts, but the use of the term suspend also adheres to one of the long-standing axiom of politics: never close a door, never rule anything out. So it's all about the fact that if you suspend, you don't have to start paying on your debt until after the election, until after you've officially lost. If you try, they set it up so you can't say, I'm done. Let me pay off my people and get the heck and go to Barbados for a week and relax. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to settle. You can push those debts off until after the election.
Right. And so they can raise some more money some kind of way, give dinners or whatever, speaking to help pay it off or whatever. I guess however they do that. Okay, that's interesting. Now, here's an interesting thing. Speaking about Texas and the borders and all of that, they had an independent investigation on the Uvalde incident where I don't know, I think 18 or 19 people were killed, mostly children, and they came back and said, although they waited 77 minutes outside the building while they were receiving calls that, you know, I'm still alive, come get me, come do something, no one was found liable for anything on leadership, on the people on the ground, nobody was And it just does not seem quite right that you've taken a job, and God granted, it is a tough job being a law officer, but you've taken a job to serve and protect, and you have an opportunity to do that, and nobody did it.
I want them all to refund their department or their county for the active shooter training that I'm sure they had to take at some point. That's right. To me, when I hear something like this, it immediately means cover up, whitewash. We're pushing this under the carpet. We didn't train our people, or we realize our people slept through the training that we provided them. And my understanding is cops love to play with their guns. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they went through active shooter drills. If there's any police off state, any police department in the nation that hasn't had some sort of training on school shooters, mm-hmm. on active school shootings, well, that's a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. But so these guys said, I'm heartbroken over this story because kids lost their lives. Kids spent an hour hiding, huddling, praying, calling their parents, calling the cops, saying, help us. And we have a squadron of, maybe that's not the right term, but we got a whole bunch of men with body armor and big guns and all kinds of weapons and all kinds of training. And those men are standing around scared, not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, the, you know, how we, you know, juxtapose these positions of serve and protect, but when someone makes a criticism about, well, it looks like you're doing a little more protecting over here and a lot more service over here, and when you need it over here, you're not, and that, you know, it's like either you doing this 100% for everybody as best you can the same way, or you're not. And you know, you knew that at some point when you became a law officer, that at some point your life may be put in danger. So and I, you know, I applaud them in that regard. That's a big commitment. But if you make the commitment and you don't do it, and then you shuck away from it, I mean, of course, it's a thin line, right? I mean, and that's the challenge with today's world. Everything's a thin line, right? I mean, there's so many point counterpoints on anything and everything you do that I get it. People are paralyzed and don't want to do anything, but the world will stop turning, literally, if we don't take action on some of these things.
I don't know how many men were involved, or people were involved here. I don't know how many officers were in this case. However, I got to believe there was at least one of them that was like, let's go. Come on. Mm-hmm. There had to be at least one guy juiced up, gun in hand, ready to charge in there like a herd of bulls. And everybody mm-hmm. else had to say, no. Right? Or there was one guy at the front leading the whole thing that said, no, we're not going in. No. Yeah. Right. There had to be somebody has to be held to account. And this is a problem, I think, in police, in the consciousness of policing at this point, mm-hmm. is they've all got this qualified immunity. So they all think they can get away with just about anything they want in the world and not be held liable. And this is an example of it. It probably comes back to their qualified immunity. And even though they know they did wrong, they can't do anything to them.
Right.
And if you're not going to indict a person, if you're not going to say this guy is responsible, or these three guys contributed, these three people stopped this team from moving in and doing their job, this person was negligent. If you're not going to do that, at least indict the system that allowed it to happen. at least tell us that you're going to make changes to the way these decisions are made. At least tell us you're going to put a policy in place that you can't stand around with your thumb up your ass for more than one cup of coffee. How many cups of coffee did these guys drink in an hour and a half before they decided to take action? And we're going to just let them off scot-free.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, switching gears, speaking of scot-free, looks like the United States is trying to free themselves of TikTok.
Now that was a good segue. Robert's ranting. We gotta go. Hold on. Robert's on one. I'm gonna change topics. Let's talk about TikTok. Now that won't piss him off at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now the US government is telling TikTok, hey, you need to sell. They're telling ByteDance, who's the company, you need to sell TikTok and not have it affiliated with the Chinese government, or else we're going to get a nationwide ban. Now, you know, that is that's a battle line right there, right? Because now TikTok is integrated from everything from kids sharing song and dance to people advertising their business, right? So it, right. And of course, we're not even going to talk about the people who has solidified or made a statement that TikTok is their business by being influencers and stuff, by just pouring out content on these things. But I'm interested to see where this goes, because I mean, we were talking earlier, Robert, you know, there's a case that, you know, these guys are and anybody who thinks this is not true, then I don't know what to do, but we know they're collecting data. We know they're creating patterns and profiles, and because that's what you'd use data for. Every company is doing it, right?
That's why you start a tech company, sell people's data. That's where the money is.
And so to think that a company that is controlled partly, if not wholly, by one of our adversaries in China, and that they're not collecting data and profile and connecting dots and doing math models and pivot tables and cubes and all these different things they do with data, then you really are asleep at the wheel. Now, how do we deal with it? I don't know, because just like TikTok is doing it, Instagram is doing it too. Facebook is doing it too. All of them are doing it. So, you know, how do we begin to substantiate where we draw the line? And it has to be a line that affects everybody, I would think, but I don't know.
I've been thinking, right, there's this, you meet somebody and then I got an email this morning, spam, about a new dating app, the new Tinder, and I can get in early if I want. And I was just like, oh God, yeah. But it made me realize, I was thinking, okay, so one of the questions has to be, where do you get your news? Mm. If I was in the dating pool, if I was out in the world dating, I think that'd be one of the first questions I ask on a blind date, on a first date, is where do you get your news? Where do you get your information? It's turning into, where do you get your propaganda?
Yeah.
Do you get your propaganda from YouTube? Do you get your propaganda from Facebook? Do you get it from TikTok? Do you get it from, and here's the thing, folks, social media platforms are not news outlets. You should not say, oh, I get my news from YouTube. I watch YouTube videos to get my news. You should not be getting your news, but unfortunately, the younger generations, that's where they get their news. They get their news from social media platforms. And the lines have become so blurry. And now I'd be really interested. I think this TikTok thing would be a massive argument, because one way or the other, one side is going to have to champion it and the other side is going to argue against it. And we do have a federal judge in that ruled against Montana's attempt to do the same thing. So many of you may remember last fall, Montana made an announcement that they were going to outlaw TikTok. They were going to lock TikTok out of the state of Montana effective January 1. Back at the end of November, a federal judge ruled that that likely violates the Constitution's First Amendment to free speech.
Yeah.
So the Fed, if somebody in the federal, does it say who's pushing this in the article you saw?
No, it did. I watched a little clip on the news. I forget which network it was.
I hope it's not bipartisan, because then it's for sure not going to make it. Sure get knocked down. Anything with the word bipartisan on it, Donald steps in and screws it all up. So, but it, regardless, I think it would be a very, very long court battle, and it would probably, and it would have to go to the Supreme Court, I believe, at this point, because again, a federal district, U.S. District Court for the District of Montana, it was a judge there that that blocked Montana's attempt to do this. So.
Yeah, here it says the U.S. government is once again threatening to ban TikTok. Demand the app's Chinese owner sell its stake. They don't say who's pushing it in this particular article. It's a business article.
Wow.
Doesn't clearly state it. It just says, you know, the ultimate for the U.S. government, the U.S. government. So I don't know if it's coming out of the House or the Senate or both. Or but, you know, the crux of the matter is, we've in a lot of these cases, we've put the fox over the hen house. And now the fox is eating the hens, and now we acting like that's some surprising thing. It's like, well, that's what foxes do, don't they? They eat chickens.
Right.
So why are you surprised? Why are you now, you know, now that you done got all your chickens before the fox started eating them, now you want to start killing, you want to get rid of the fox now. And it's like, the fox was fine while you were sneaking it. He was in the front. You were sneaking your chickens out the back.
Yeah.
So.
You knew I was a fox.
Yeah.
It's almost like a tragedy in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come back to what I heard last night, which I saw demonstrated again last night. The division in America is between those that want to go back to some imaginary, idyllic time, like we didn't have problems in the 50s. Come on, we had problems in the 50s. We just weren't calling them problems yet. We had racism. We had all this stuff in the 50s. There were transgender people in the 50s. We just didn't label it that way. So the division is between those that want to go back to a past that we cannot repeat and those that want to in some way continue to move our country forward. And I think that was on display last night. And I think that's on display in all of these stories. Right. The cops sit, huddle in that classroom for 77 minutes because they don't want to face the reality that they're going to have to go in there and shoot somebody. And that they don't want to face the reality that kids have died on their watch. They want to go back to the reality that kids are safe in schools. Guess what? Our kids are not safe in our schools.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. And we have to, I believe you, I, others, those in the New Thought movement, I think we need to start casting a vision of a new form of education that allows our kids to stay safe when they congregate, that allows our churches to be safe when they congregate. We didn't hear an awful lot last night about gun control, but we did hear a little bit about responsible gun ownership and enacting and doing something. I'm tired of us sitting on our hands in this bickering attitude and doing nothing. We got to be able to start doing something. And right there, to me, that is the division. It is helping somebody that's locked into the fear see a greater vision, see a greater opportunity, see a greater potential or possibility, rather than I'm worried and I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I know our time is getting long here, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't speak to Women's History Month this month.
Amen.
So we definitely want to make sure we give that shout out. And I have a great program to suggest to understand some of that movement. There's a program on PBS called Fly With Me. It's about the Fly, F-L-Y with me. It's about the history of airline stewards and stewardess, right? Mm. And it shows, it's a pretty long program, pretty thorough, well done, in terms of the environment that they had to work with and how the way the Civil Rights Bill was written, they were able to tag onto that and move that whole industry and the rights of women forward. And here's a tidbit I learned. If you were, they officially became, I think in 53, they started doing the commercial flying in that kind of a manner. But in 56, I think they started recruiting the stewardess.
Okay.
And you had to retire at 32. You could not be a stewardess over 32. They had a card that if you were a certain height, you had to be a certain weight, and they would measure you for your hips and everything to make sure that you fit whatever that standard was. And so they went from that and it wasn't until 1985 that they got a legal judgment, and these airlines had to pay back pay, class action suit, to release a lot of the craziness that they had to go through. It's well worth seeing. And look at that industry and how they treated women and women's rights. And it's a great program for Women History Month.
Right on. See, you do find some of the most amazing things. I'm going to drop, we dropped the link to this in the comments, folks. If it doesn't come through on your comments, we're going to put it on the screen here for me as well. Real quick, go to PBS and search Fly With Me and you'll find it as well. I know what I'm going to do this evening now is I'm going to watch that tonight. So
it's good. You'll like it.
You find the most interesting things. I love it. And here's just, we are going to wrap it up here, folks, but here's another example. Share with your friends the positive stuff you find. Yeah. I'll be back later tonight at 5 with the good news, a half hour of good news stories. Tune into that. Share those stories with your friends. Find these types of things. Don't let yourself get trapped into the TikTok mentality that all the good entertainment and all the good news happen and all the news happens in 60-second sound bites. These issues we talk about are much more nuanced than we can really dig into here on this program. It is imperative, I believe, on every one of us. And I'm going to speak directly to the American population now, but I believe it is imperative in every one of us to become educated about what it is that's going on. Not just because I heard it, not just because somebody else said it. If you haven't read the report, read the report before you comment on it. Be a part of the healing here, because I heard a vision last night of what we can accomplish if we come together.
Yes.
And then I heard the gloom and doom of what happens if we don't. And I got to say, I like the first story a lot better. The vision ends better than the horror show of all that's going wrong.
Yeah, we can see the mountaintop where we're trying to get to, but there's some weather events and some potholes and some, creepy crawlers that we have to get through to get to that mountaintop, but it is attainable.
Yes.
We can prepare and we can be ready for the unexpected if we have a common goal in mind that we're looking to get to. So I'm thinking now that we kind of know who's going to be running in this year's election, it's now really time to start looking at the issues, looking at how the different parties and candidates across the board, not just the presidents, because, you know, do you have seats in both House and Congress that need to be, House and Senate, you know, we got to figure out a way to be, you know, a light went off.
Your light. Guess that means we're done.
Yeah, I guess so. Goodness gracious. But yeah, let's keep the lights on. Let's not let them turn off. How about that?
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. I like that. Folks, thanks for being with us this morning. Or if you're watching it another time, thanks for investing your time into hearing a little bit more about what we think about the world. Please do like, share, subscribe. Let your friends and family know what we're doing here. We're going to get out of here for now, but we'll be back again next Friday. And of course, we've got a full day of programming here on New Thought Media Network. Stay tuned. Until next time. We want to wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.